Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The U.S. has traditionally sent mixed messages regarding its newest residents, its immigrants. On one hand, we have welcomed your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, but often the welcome mat is accompanied by fear of the outsider and a welcome that, well, can be selective. And now the federal government is proposing new restrictions on legal immigrants, with its strict scrutiny of the use of food stamps, housing vouchers, or Medicaid in determining eligibility for permanent residency. But many cities see immigrants as a key determinant in a community's overall health and continued growth. To that end, the city of Tulsa is offering a new Tulsans Initiative welcoming plan. It was announced last week, and it sets ambitious goals to aid immigrants in their access and assimilation into the city. Five categories, civic engagement, economic development, education, health, and public safety, will have 26 quantifiable goals in making the city more welcoming to its next generation of residents. My guest today is the Director of Community Development and Policy at the City of Tulsa, Christina Da Silva, who joins us to discuss the new Tulsans Initiative welcoming plan. Christina Da Silva, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This new Tulsans Initiative welcoming plan is really to welcome immigrants and really to help assimilate those immigrants more quickly into city life, involving everything from public service to education to public safety to economic development help. How did this plan get started?
So I started with Mayor G.T. Bynum's administration in January 2017. And when I originally was asked to be part of his team, we were originally looking at how the city of Tulsa could support our local Latinx community. And when I was doing research and seeing how other cities were operating, and even just in general, the changing demographics of Tulsa, I was learning how Tulsa is very similar to other Midwest and South cities, where we are seeing our population grow primarily because of our immigrant population. In other words, if it were not for our immigrant population, the city of Tulsa would not be growing.
It'd be stagnant and actually declining probably
yes,
a little bit.
Yes, exactly. And that is largely because of our immigrants that are coming from Central and South America. But we also have a very fast-growing Asian population here in Tulsa. And so in thinking about how the city of Tulsa could better serve our newcomers, I realized we have to have something that's inclusive of not just Central or South American immigrants. We need to be thinking about how our city, as we move towards becoming a world-class city, how can we be making sure that our international community is welcomed and celebrated? So I worked really closely with the YWCA, Immigrant and Refugee Center. We also had the Tulsa Regional Chamber of Commerce, Tulsa Health Department, Tulsa Area United Way, the Schusterman Foundation. We were having discussions about how we might be able to partner and look at a system. So we went to Atlanta, Georgia to a Welcoming America conference. And Welcoming America is a national organization that works with municipalities to see how they can help integrate their immigrant community. So we went to this conference with our delegation from Tulsa, and there we learned a lot about what other cities very similar to Tulsa are doing. And it was just really exciting. We came back to Tulsa. We applied for a grant called the Gateways for Growth Grant through the Partnership for New American Economy and Welcoming America. And we were one of 25 cities that actually were able to receive a matching grant. So this was a very exciting opportunity where we were able to formally announce the new Tulsans Initiative. We announced it September 20th, 2017. And we began that strategic planning process to see how can we engage stakeholders to see what are some of the local issues that we can address, what are some of our local assets, and how can we welcome immigrants here in Tulsa.
What was the number one issue you found?
We found several issues. We saw that in our kickoff summit, we had over 120 individuals that represented a broad spectrum of business, nonprofit, education, health, law enforcement. We also had a very broad, diverse group of individuals from different countries. It was a very exciting opportunity to see so many different kinds of people all, and we held it at the Central Library. And we had a very preliminary conversation looking at what are some of the challenges, what are some of our ways that we can address them. We also developed committees that revolved the different five topic areas. So civic engagement, education, economic development, health, and public safety. These committees looked at what are some of the things, again, like that we could address. Additionally, hosted 13 focus groups with immigrants here in Tulsa with 115 participants.
Was there something that boiled to the top from those focus groups as far as a single issue or maybe a couple of area issues?
So I would say we had three broad categories. One was access to information, access to understanding how to navigate U.S. systems. You know, I'm sure everyone has had frustration when it comes to our U.S. health system, you know, understanding how to get a referral from a primary care provider. Well, if you can imagine this system being a completely new and also being in another language, that's kind of the same feeling that a lot of immigrants have coming to Tulsa or coming to the U.S. And that is with not just our health, but also our education system, knowing how to become involved with your community, knowing how to collaborate with local law enforcement to keep your community safe. So access to information and how to navigate the systems was one big area. Another big area that we identified was increasing the capacity of our local educators, service providers, folks that work directly with the public. So working with them to help them understand what are some best practices in working with immigrants. You know, for example, you shouldn't use children to help with interpretation. It could be a very sensitive issue if you put a child in that predicament. So what are some resources that we could provide so that we could be making sure that, you know, when there is interpretation or translation needed to help overcome barriers, that there is some kind of way that educators, that service providers could access that resource.
Well, let me ask you, how often is a child being used as the first generation living here who can speak English probably better than a parent? Mm-hmm. How often are they put into that role of interpreter?
Yeah. Myself, personally speaking, I'm the oldest in my family and only daughter, and my mother was an immigrant to the U.S., so I know how that feels when you're in a situation, and especially when it regards to health, and you need help. And I think that we want to create a community where children are not put in that situation. And also it's a safety issue too. So I know it happens, unfortunately, often. And so that is one issue you want to look at and address in a welcoming plan, is helping folks overcome those language barriers, whether that mean expanding resources for interpretation and translation. Also, there was a big, in our focus groups, one big ask was more ESL classes. You know, we all win when immigrants have more opportunities to ESL classes. And we have some great opportunities.
That's English as a second language.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We have some great organizations that are doing great work, and they have great classes. A lot of them are full. A lot of them have wait lists. So looking and seeing how we can work as a community to maybe create more cohesiveness around what classes are offered. And also, we had a lot of conversations in our focus groups about the types of classes, so what information is offered. For example, one thing that I had never occurred to me was we have a lot of individuals who are immigrants who qualify for a driver's license. However, they not only have to learn how to drive, but they also have to take the test in English. And so I've already been having conversations, and this is all derivative of the welcoming plan, having conversations with potential organizations to see how could we potentially have an ESL class that's just specific target for passing the driver's test. I think also another big issue that we identified was in Tulsa, and this is not just isolated to immigrant services. In general, I think we all know that there's so many great things that are happening. I mean, we have great programs. We have a very generous philanthropic community that has been able to provide excellent services here. However, a lot of them are very siloed or maybe very standalone. So one of the goals of the welcoming plan is helping create more cohesion and strategic alignment around all the services that we provide. One of the things that we want to look at is how can we help organizations provide a more dense network so that when immigrants are introduced to one organization or one program and they're needing referral to another, there's a cohesive and seamless handoff. And I think that helps everyone, right? So it helps that organization knowing that they can trust another organization to serve that client. It also helps the family, the immigrant, and it also just helps with effective results. If we can have a system in which our community has services and programs that are communicating with each other, that are leveraging each other's resources. I think that's one of the things that I'm really excited about the Welcoming Plan. It's not about creating new programs. It's not about duplicating services. We, again, have some great champions that are doing great work. It's about getting them even more embedded and connected with each other so that we can really be effective at serving and improving lives.
Is it as simple as just having translation sheets, when somebody visits City Hall, or is it that simple?
When you translate something, that is one method of helping folks understand and overcome the barriers and challenges. I think that we also need to recognize that there are culturally responsive ways that we can help individuals navigate systems. So, for example, in our public safety section, we talk about how we want to have a goal of immigrants understanding how they can respond to natural disasters, right? So I think a lot of folks who've lived here for a really long time, they know, okay, there's, what does the tornado warning sound like? What do you do?
What does the Wednesday at noon siren sounds like? That could, that could freak somebody out.
Exactly. We have a lot of individuals who, they don't know what to do when there's a tornado. We have, unfortunately, groups who, I've heard stories of people confusing the child safe place, yellow triangle, as a tornado shelter. And that's not, we need to be making sure, A, that individuals know what that triangle means, and then B, also know what do you do if you live in an apartment, if you live in a mobile home, if you live a house, what do you do? And I know that some of the ways that we can be able to do that is by translating flyers and posters, and we have Disaster Resilience Network that's doing that. But we also have individuals who are already really deeply connected with hard-to-reach communities. The other challenge is that many immigrants, they may be able to read in their own language. We have some immigrants who, due to their backgrounds, they were unable to attend school in their home countries. And so making sure that we have a network or a system or process in which, for example, we have people who are caseworkers with the Burmese Zomi community, or religious institutions that have really good connections with the Burmese Zomi community. So how can we be empowering those groups, or making sure that those individuals that have those direct connections have the resources to explain to the Burmese Zomi community, like, this is what you do during a tornado? Again, I think it's translation of written materials is definitely one step, and it's going to be a big step.
But it needs to be interaction, those, person to person.
Exactly. And I think with any community, relationships are important. But I think in particular with our immigrant community, especially as they come here, some of them have contacts here in Tulsa, and that's why they're choosing Tulsa to live. However, we need to be doing a better job at connecting those individuals that have those connections.
My guest today is Christina Da Silva. She's the Director of Community Development and Policy at the City of Tulsa. The city has kicked off the New Tulsans Initiative Welcoming Plan, was announced by the city last week, designed to welcome and help assimilate immigrants to the city. And when I say assimilate, I mean this is in integrating them in boards, in city service positions, as far as participating in authorities and the various appointments the city does, providing economic development help for entrepreneurs, local employer information, and connecting them. Because that's also a key component of this idea that immigrants are important to the city's continued growth, because most of our immigrants are young. U.S., Tulsa as well, has an aging population. Mm-hmm. People are exiting the workforce. Immigrants provide that sort of lifeblood of people working in jobs.
Yeah. So I think that looking at what we have planned for economic development in our welcoming plan, I think is really exciting. We found with our work with the Partnership for New American Economy that immigrants were actually 76% more likely to start their own business here in Tulsa than a U.S. native-born resident. So one of the things that I like to talk about is how Tulsa, we're building ourselves as this small business-friendly city. We're a place where if you want to start your own business, this is a place where you can grow. We have great supports with the Regional Chamber of Commerce. We have, 36 Degrees North. However, how those supports have been connecting with the immigrant community is another question. And so it was exciting to be able to go through this process and identify, oh, here are some ways that we can be making sure that immigrant business owners know how they can access local supports. We can be making sure that the workshops that we offer are in places that are accessible to immigrants. And also, I think that, you know, we also have a lot of companies that are doing great work in supporting their immigrant employees. So, for example, I like to share how the YWCA Immigrant and Refugee Center has actually been partnered with local companies like Icy Bus, Whirlpool, Aeon, to actually offer ESL classes, English as Second Language classes, on site at the manufacturing company so that their employees can work and then right afterwards go attend an ESL class. And that helps everyone again. That helps the immigrant, that helps the business, that helps all of our community.
When this idea first started incubating in the city of Tulsa, you said you went to a conference where you compared yourself to other Midwest cities. And I think Tulsa is sort of an amalgam between Southern city and Midwest city. And a lot of these cities, they're dealing with the same things. But some cities, like when you think of Minneapolis or some places in the upper Midwest, where just because of the work demands, they've had this huge influx of immigrants. They've been forced to change very quickly. Mm-hmm. What can you learn from cities like that? Or could you maybe put where Tulsa is on the continuum among these Midwest cities that for a long time have been, I think, perceived within the city as mainly white European cities, all speaking English. And I think probably in most of those cases, there's been immigrant communities that have just felt marginalized and neglected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So actually, I think one other interesting aspect about this welcoming plan that we're working on is in partnership with a New American Economy, they actually developed a municipal cities index for immigrant integration. And so they looked at the U.S. 100 biggest cities, and Tulsa is one of those cities. And this is all states. And what they did was they created a composite score looking at how immigrants compared to their U.S. native-born counterpart residents in that city. So they looked at different indicators such as access to health, leadership representation, education. There are several different indicators. Also, just homeownership rate, entrepreneurship rate, access to housing. So just looking at all these different indicators and seeing how do immigrants compare to their U.S.-born counterparts. And they were able to come up with a composite score. So out of 100 cities, Tulsa ranks 93, which yeah. is, I mean, I hate to say these kind of things because it's negative, obviously. But then I appreciate is that it really does help us with understanding where we are now and how can we use the welcoming plan to help improve those rates of, if you know, for example, we have individuals who are immigrants who have opportunities potentially with starting their own business and growing their own business. How can we be making sure that that's something that's an equal access opportunity for everyone? I think that the New American Economy, I appreciate their work that they've done because they will be how I would say is like a third-party evaluator on seeing how in these next 2 years are we going to be able to move the needle.
What are some of the areas where you expect to really move the needle in the next 2 years? I'm looking at some of the goals. We're looking at multilingual health services, equitable access to affordable and local health-related resources. I'm looking at economic development, and we have equitable access to safe and reliable public transportation. You know, our public transportation is not real good for a city of our size. And so, I mean, I look at that as a game changer for the whole city, not just for the immigrant population, but for, you know, native-born people of low socioeconomic means. Having reliable public transportation would be a boon for the entire city. So how big an impact do you think you can make in 2 years?
Yeah, so the welcoming plan has different components. I think yes. that's important to note. We have the vision statements, which are very aspirational. Why are we doing this? Why is this important in each of the five categories? Each of the five categories have their own vision statement. We also have underneath the vision statement goal statements. And these are things that these are statements that are purposely said in the present tense so that we can be honest and say these things by September 2020. Mm. And, you know, I've had different folks who tell me, you know, these are goal statements that, you know, seem too ambitious. You know, there are some people who say that these are not ambitious enough. What I think is exciting is through the process of strategic planning, we've been able to get feedback from a lot of different types of folks from different levels of decision-making, residents. And what I've found is that in Tulsa, and not just in this process, but just in general, we have some great individuals that have so much desire to make things happen. So I believe that we've been able to get the momentum needed to get people thinking about how they can make these goals happen by September 2020. And I mean, each of these areas, civic engagement, economic development, education, health, public safety, again, we have the people needed, which I think is the most important thing. We also have several opportunities that we could potentially leverage what city resources we could offer with what with local. There's also a lot of grants that we could apply for. And I think any organization, any nonprofit that applies in partnership with their local municipal government, I think that sounds like a great candidate for any kind of grant. So this is going to be an exciting process. Again, it's the first time that the city of Tulsa is embarking on this, and it's been a lot of work. But again, we've had some great people, excellent steering committee that has helped so much with offering advice and strategic planning. We've had great committees that have looked at not only what do we have here in Tulsa, what are other cities doing? What are some of the things that we can look at what other cities are doing in terms of best practices that we could be implementing here? Yeah, and I think also what I'm excited about this whole plan is while we do have these vision statements and goal statements that will be our guiding principles for these next 2 years, we purposely made these goal statements broad. And these goal statements are broad so that as we have organizations that choose to partner with the city, we want to be able to hear from them. How do you think we should be accomplishing this? You know, there are so many ways that you can go about bringing information to a community, for example. And I may have some ideas, but I know that there are organizations, groups, individuals who have maybe more experience or maybe more contact and have more creative ways of bringing information to a community, for example. And so the process in which we're inviting organizations and individuals to partner with us is we're going to be creating a process that's open, transparent. It'll be a rolling basis. What I didn't want is to have a plan that listed organizations and then nobody could partner with, you know, like we wanted to create a process that would be open because, again, we have organizations that have been part of the strategic planning process from the very beginning, but we also were conscious that there are some groups that maybe we didn't know about, or maybe there's some organizations that haven't, that are not in existence yet. So we'll be actually announcing that process once we get it finalized. But the how we're going to accomplish the goals, of course, is we're going to be working with organizations to identify action steps. In our committees, we did come up with some preliminary action steps. We'll be having those published on our website.
Hmm. You mentioned when you're doing focus groups, the number one issue that came up time and time again was access to information, language barriers. How's the city going to address that? Have you figured out a way to do that yet? You know, the city budget is very tight. So, mm-hmm. you know, translators or people mm-hmm. within offices that can then, you know, I don't see that happening mm-hmm. really. So how do you eliminate these barriers, language barriers?
Yeah. So I think one of the first things that we want to identify and we have the data is to understand what are some of the populations that have the highest need for interpretation and translation. So in Tulsa, of course, we have a large Central and South American population. We also have a large Asian population, Zomi Burmese. And so identifying, okay, which are the groups that are here in Tulsa? Which are the groups that maybe have the highest levels of limited English proficiency? So for example, we have immigrants from all over. There may be some groups that have higher levels of English proficiency, whereas there may be other groups that have more limited English proficiency. So obviously those are the groups that we want to prioritize, the groups that have higher levels of limited English proficiency. And I know that we've already been partnering with the YWCA Immigrant and Refugee Center to help with translating a lot of the material that we've been using. We also have a great Tulsa Community College interpretation department. I know that also local public school districts have been looking at how they can be expanding their dual language immersion programs. Right now they have, for example, in Tulsa Public Schools, they have immersion programs in elementary. And I know that there have been conversations about how can we be expanding this and creating a pipeline for individuals who have that talent of interpreting and translating. How can we be celebrating the fact that we have in Tulsa a growing number of students that are living in bilingual homes? How can we be promoting that and giving them skills, these students skills, so that they can market that? So there's a lot of different ways that I'm excited to be partnering with groups with. It's definitely not going to be easy. And I know that there's a lot of concerns about resources and how do we prioritize when it's already very difficult to, you know, fund things here in the city. But that's why we're making this a priority. And we know that it would be easy to ignore this issue. And I think for decades, Tulsa has. We've been passively receiving immigrants. But we know that in order to be competitive in a global economy, we know that in order to make sure that we grow strong and as a cohesive city, we need to be prioritizing how we welcome immigrants.
Christina De Silva is my guest. She's the Director of Community Development and Policy at the City of Tulsa. The new Tulsans Initiative Welcoming Plan was announced by the city last week, designed to welcome and help with assimilation issues for immigrants to our city. How will you define success 2 years down the road as far as assisting immigrant populations in becoming more comfortable in the city of Tulsa? Would it be progress on a few of these goals, some progress on all the goals? How would you define success?
Again, this is the first time that the city of Tulsa has been embarking on this process. It's very much a process that I know that other cities are just starting. And so I think that along the way, I'm sure we'll have some lessons learned. I'm excited that we're able to work with the New American Economy to have this city's index that is going to be helping us with quantitative data on how we can be improving outcomes and just in general, improving quality of life for everyone. I think that also we'll see in 2 years how our community will be growing. I think that success for me means that we have all residents, including immigrants, welcomed and working together to make this a stronger community.
All right. Christina, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Christina De Silva is the Director of Community Development and Policy at the City of Tulsa, discussing the new Tulsans Initiative Welcoming Plan. You can view the full plan at cityoftulsa.org/newTulsan. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.